Good morning and welcome to the roundtable panel for this Monday. It is the 16th of January, a holiday, and we thank you very much for being with us. I don't know if my commute is any indication. Everyone is home. Because it took me about 35 minutes to get to work. So,
and what does it usually take you?
About an hour. So, really? I'm guessing a lot of people are home. Hopefully, they're listening to the radio, and we thank you very much for being with us. Let me introduce the group to you this morning. Alan Chartog is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Glad to be here, and a very special day, Martin Luther King Day.
Absolutely, and we'll be talking about a lot about. Race in this country is a topic that certainly developed over the weekend. Rosemary Armeo is a director of the journalism program at the University at Albany, and it's a delight to have you here
yes.
this morning.
Yes, Martin, we could use you. The dark side is rising.
Wow. And Libby Post joins us. She is our political consultant and, well, not our, like, personal political consultant, but she is a political consultant. Yeah, anything for a buck, right?
Yeah, right.
Sure.
It's true.
Well, good morning and welcome. Very nice to have you with us. We welcome you as well. That's simple. It's panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org, and we would love to talk to you. Now, what happened over the weekend? Well, Donald Trump got into a fight with a civil rights icon. I don't really know much more to say other than John Lewis, the congressman from the Atlanta area, who has been a congressman for decades, has been a civil rights leader. Has been a civil rights icon in this country, fought the fight, and made comments on Meet the Press that were basically leaked on, released on Friday into Saturday, that he felt that he was not going to the inauguration and that he felt that the presidency of Donald Trump was illegitimate. So that took about 12 hours before Donald Trump tweeted back and said that John Lewis was all talk. He was no action. He said that his congressional district was in a shambles and that it was that he should spend more time in his district and less time going after him. And well, the backlash has been quite swift against the president, president-elect. But I do think it's important to point out that in that backlash, there's so far, and I don't know, this is not, I think this is a lesser story, although to me it was very important. So far, only one Republican senator.
Yep.
Came to the defense of John Lewis, which I found both chilling and surprising. Who would like to begin?
Well, here we are on Martin Luther King Day, and and we have the major heir to the mantle held by Martin Luther King, John Lewis, beloved by many Americans, who has had guts where nobody else has. He got his head bashed in on the on the bridge. He's been a guy who led the troops down to the well of the House of Representatives and sat there on a sit-in. He's a guy who really does know what it's all about, and I for one love the guy. So it is extraordinary. Now that is on the heels of somebody like a great war hero, John McCain. Who sat in a cage in Vietnam and wouldn't leave because his colleagues wouldn't leave, and he calls him names also. So now this guy is a name caller, and it's up is down, down is up. Whatever comes to his mind at any given moment, he does, and he has no sense of shame or responsibility.
All is so true, and I could take that because we know by now that he's a bore and has no impulse control, and he just has no respect whatever. However, it was all the people around him who backed him that makes me upset. Not just the Republicans, but you had
Reince Priebus.
Priebus going on George Stephanopoulos' program and saying that it was up to Barack Obama to call to keep those Democrats under control and say this was a legitimate president.
Can anyone explain that to me? Because I do not understand.
The irony of that, the sheer gall of saying to the man whose own legitimacy was questioned for years by
Trump.
Six years. Mm-hmm. So now it is his duty to go and say, no, Trump is very legitimate. And then you also saw Mike Pence say the same thing. He was just defending himself. This was right. It's all the people around him. Kellyanne defended him. All the people around him defending. If it were treated like a temper tantrum, you like your three-year-old even though they're embarrassing you and being an idiot throwing themselves on the ground in public. If it were treated that way, I could deal with it. But instead, to act like this is acceptable behavior from the leader of the free world scares me to death.
The one thing I loved about John Lewis's remarks. The one thing I loved about John Lewis's remarks was that he seemed to, and I'm not, please don't think I'm saying that he was baiting him, because mm-hmm. I don't believe that. But the thing that Trump seems to have been going absolutely nutsoid about over the last, since the election, is that he didn't win fairly and squarely.
Right.
So to say that word legitimate. Mm-hmm. Just went, that's and the whole group so then defends that, but forgets this whole other thing as to who they're talking to.
I know it's your turn, Libby, but I also want to throw this in so you can address it too. But Dianne Feinstein, will she get it today? Because she went even further, I think, than Lewis and said, I think the Russians had an effect.
Right.
And she is a known expert on foreign intelligence and spying.
Well, on one hand, we have a three-year-old coming into the White House with his hands on the nuclear codes getting fitted for his white hood. I mean, that's what we have here. And he has people behind him who espouse the same kind of rhetoric as the KKK. You've got Steve Bannon. You've got the people at Breitbart. You've got Kellyanne. You've got Reince Priebus calling on the president. I mean, are they kidding? Who, first of all, who are they kidding? And really, are they kidding? Do they expect people to take them seriously? Now, the problem is that a lot of people agree with what Donald Trump says. And they're the people that are going to be hurt the most. They voted for him. We've been seeing story after story about buyer's remorse from people who didn't know there was a difference between Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act. And they thought it was two different things. And they thought they had the ACA and not Obamacare. And so now they're going to lose their health care. People are going to die. Clearly, the Republicans don't really care about that. But what the other part of this is that this man's skin is so thin, he canceled his visit to the African American Museum at the Smithsonian. Oh, yes.
Well,
he was supposed to go today, and now he's not.
Yeah, there's some question as to whether he was actually invited, but also because the president had told him that in an address in September that he should go visit to get a lesson on race relations.
Right.
So there was some question as to whether that was actually really going to happen. But yes,
but they've announced that he's canceled it. So one would think that he was
not
going
on the schedule. Yes.
Right. And the man is a danger to America. On a foreign policy level, the Russians are going to be running the show, and he has absolutely no regard for the people he's governing. I don't know what to say. John Lewis, the icon, and he says things about his district that is not even true. It's one of the richest districts in Atlanta. It's where the CDC is. It's got very well off, various people, right? It's not a crime-ridden, poverty-stricken inner city, kind of neighborhood that he thinks every black person in America lives in, except maybe Ben Carson.
You have to listen to the right-wing radio right now. It's amazing how they're just thrilling at how upset we all are. We liberals, elitists.
Well, It occurs to me to say something here, which is going to be maybe seen as self-serving, but I'm unapologetic about it. And that is that we're about to have a fund drive early February. The same Breitbart who we've been referring to this morning have said that the first thing that ought to happen is to get away with the to do away with the corporation for public broadcasting and to stop giving money to public stations. Okay, if you're going to do it, you do it. But it is interesting that Breitbart does seem to be calling the shots here in so many ways. And it's not as if they're not influential because their former head is sitting there inches away from the Oval Office.
And in the first press conference, he said no to CNN and then called on the Breitbart person.
Yeah. So what we need here, I'm sorry again, is we have to get halfway in the drive, in the lockbox. And Joe, we have a figure here that you want to mention.
We're at 290, 291 almost.
291.
The lockbox, and we are looking to get to 500,000. So and that would be about 210, right?
I would admit.
Oh, 190, right?
Yeah.
Yes, 190.
I would say we're not looking to. We really have to. Because, you know, you can have anything you want. You can have these conversations, but you can't have them if you don't have a radio station. And we did very well over the weekend. A lot of people called in. A lot of people went to WAMC.org and made their pledges to the lockbox. So whatever you can do, folks, this is a good time. Let me go one step further. And to say, a lot of people have been coming up to me and saying, but Alan, no matter how much we all know how bad this guy is, we can't do anything about it. Well, you actually can.
That's not true.
You actually can. There's the marches that on the 21st and the marches that are going on right now. But in addition to all of that and calling your congresspeople and your senators and everybody else, there is that moment when particularly Republican congresspeople will be saying, this guy is hurting me and is hurting my electoral chances. So as his numbers, as we say in polling, go down,
right.
That is something that will encourage more independence on the part of Republican congresspeople.
And his numbers are going way down.
He's
at the lowest point of anybody coming in,
yep,
in terms of the people who voted for him thinking he's going to be able to do a good job. There was one, I don't remember who it was, but there was one congressman who had a town hall meeting and he ran out because he was being, you know, pushed by his constituents about the Affordable Care Act and them losing their health insurance. It's going to be interesting, and there are things that people can do. I mean, there are things that people can do at every single level of our society, from the basic local level all the way up to the federal level, and that's about getting involved and speaking out and not remaining silent.
We have a letter that we'll have more letters in a moment, but there's just one that just came through. It said, I'm not a Trump fan, but Lewis can't disparage the process, disrespect the system, and get a free pass. What about Lewis not being fair? I think in this case, you're allowed to disparage the process, aren't you? I mean, there are grave questions about the process.
How can Lewis not be fair?
Can you imagine this? Here is a president-elect of the United States who undermined the entire democratic system by saying that he thought the election was going to be rigged.
And that he wouldn't abide by the...
That he might not. He'd have to see later on whether he'd abide by the results. Incredible.
I just... So I wanted to read that because we have a couple of comments along that line.
Okay.
And I'm just curious as to...
I don't think he was unfair. He went far. But this is a man who came out of the civil rights movement. If anybody's going to go a little bit too far, step over the edge, it would be he. And rightly so. I mean, that protest in the well of the House was also...
On gun.
Right. There's also gun great, violence. Oh, my God, look what he did. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, they said the same thing when he and Martin Luther King...
Exactly.
...marched
exactly.
over the Pettus Bridge.
Exactly.
Into Selma. I mean, come on. If it's people like John Lewis that has made a difference in who we are as a people.
Do you think we're headed towards a constitutional crisis? People like us who are upset are so willing to do extreme, even civil disobedience that we could have a constitutional crisis.
No, I think we did lots of civil disobedience during the Vietnam War. And we did not face a constitutional crisis.
But that's true, and I agree with that. But it is also true that people of great courage did not worry about the consequences of what could happen to
them.
This is true. And when I look at something like the Bill Maher piece in the New York Times today. I hope everybody has seen it. It was the Times, right?
Yeah.
I think
yes.
it was.
Yep.
In which he expresses his fear of the consequences of his having gone after Trump. He's not alone in that. And the New York Times displayed it on the in great detail in their paper this morning, and I have a feeling they have something to worry about, mm-hmm. as we all do.
You know, and Kellyanne's response was also worrisome. She goes, oh, he's got a big head if he thinks Donald Trump is going to waste his time on Bill Maher. That's not like, of course, that would never happen. We have constitutional protections that our president respects. I didn't hear that.
All he cares about in the Constitution is the right to bear arms. Everything else is up for grabs.
Yeah, yeah. So the other difference with Vietnam, Libby, is that no one disputed that Nixon really had won that election. It was a landslide. In this case, there are a lot of people who
yes.
wonder if he really won.
Yeah.
So in the minute we have left, how do you see it possibly unfolding to bring us to a constitutional crisis?
I think that this weekend will be really interesting. There will be massive protests in the United States, both in Washington and it's now dozens of cities
we're
nationwide.
Gonna have stuff
yeah,
here.
Including in Albany. I know you're going to talk about that later. So the response to that will be really interesting. If there is a crackdown, if people are hurt, then you're well on the way.
We have a couple letters, Alan. We'll go to those, and then we'll go to a break. We have about a minute.
Okay, here we go. It's amazing that after nearly a century and a half, the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus is folding, but at least the incoming administration is bringing us a totally new one.
A new circus.
Well, that's what it says, right? And then the other one says, heartening to see John Lewis's graphic novel, March, about a civil rights struggle, has rocketed to number one on Amazon.
Yeah, I have to buy that.
Awesome. I am planning to get a copy from my local independent bookstore today.
Good.
Keep up the great discussion, folks.
You can also take
That's
it out of your
idea.
Local library. Just
well,
say.
I know, but I want to boost his sales, and I'll mm-hmm. give a copy to my granddaughter.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go to other issues. We have a lot more to talk about. We have letters as well. Panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'll continue our conversation with Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. And again, the address to write us is panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday morning. It's the 16th of January. We do have letters. We'll get to those in just a moment. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post make up the group this morning. And we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, where we get letters just like these.
Yeah, the one from Carol, who says, my daughters and I are hosting an Irish wake on 1/20/17 to celebrate Barack Obama, to mourn the passing of his administration. It will be a call to action following up on the wonderful groups that brought the Four Freedoms Coalition to march to Pittsfield last week. Okay. And then, here we go. NPR and WAMC, says Vinny, should forego public funding and all of the strings attached. The progressive companies whose products and services we all buy need to step up to the plate big time. Well, that's from Vincent. And Vincent, I agree with you. I've often felt that we in this community can support this radio station without federal money. Now, while the Obama people were there and the rest, nobody was going to do anything. Reagan tried, didn't succeed. But I'm telling you now, there's an argument to be made that we should support it ourselves. And whether or not we should, we may have to. Because I think that that's a no-brainer, that that's what's going to happen. But a good letter. Thank you, Vince. Rocco says, it is proven that the Russians interfered with the U.S. election. In other countries, when it is proven that there is interference in an election, they have a new election. Is it not time for a new election in the U.S. just as they have it in other countries? If not, what makes the U.S. still a democracy?
We're not a democracy. We're a republic. We're not a parliamentary form of government. And unfortunately, we cannot have another election.
Okay. And then the conversations we are having, says Barbara, are ones that we have every time Trump shows his insecurity and manifests a serious mental illness. What he has said about John McCain is the same dynamic in play with the Honorable John Lewis. Narcissism is a clinical disorder. Abusers are sociopaths. When will MDs stop remaining silent? MDs.
Doctors.
What was I?
Doctors.
Doctors. Oh, yeah. All right. How many times will a legislator yell out, "You lie," says Rick. Who has the courage? And
it's not courage, it's rudeness. I don't want them yelling that out, even when it's Trump speaking. Just don't listen to him.
Karen says, you know, Rosemary, I think there's great wisdom in what you just said. Nevertheless,
when
you look back in history and see examples of how fascism got started and the rest of it, people of courage have to make extraordinary efforts, even if it's going to cost them.
I agree. But I don't think the extraordinary effort is yelling out rudely as Barack Obama was interrupted. The way to do that was to protest later, to point out problems that you had with the speech later. To yell out is just to become another Republican who's pissed off at Barack Obama.
Unless
weakens you.
Unless there is more than one voice yelling out. 20 people from Congress are not going to the inauguration at this point. I think that will grow. If you have... Mm-hmm. Legions of voices from Congress speaking out during a speech like that, it will make a point.
But listen to what you're saying. They're not being rude. They're just not going. They're not going to be there. They're not going to go there and disrupt the inauguration address. That's why Hillary Clinton is going to go to mm-hmm. the inauguration. I hope then she then goes to the Women's March.
Everybody
later.
Has
That's
a role
a
to play. Everybody has a role to play in all of this.
Well, you know, but this raises another whole issue, which is we're about to have several marches all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Albany.
Dozens.
New York.
Hundreds.
Boston, Northampton. Yeah.
Yeah.
There will be people who enter those marches and who do what I would consider to be the wrong thing. They will do something.
What?
Well,
burn them in effigy.
No, I don't think so. Well, I think marching. This is a Martin Luther King method: nonviolent and lawful protest.
Well, I agree, and that's my whole point here: that nonviolence is the way to do this right now.
Right.
What is not the way to do this is to cause violence as somebody who is on one of those marches.
Right.
I think that is something that I think that the organizers of the marches are worried about. I know that they've already sent out instructions about. You can't put anything on a pole.
No, you can't even have an umbrella. Can't have an umbrella. You can't carry a backpack unless it's a clear one.
It's not the people who are in the marches that are going to be the problem. It's the ones on the side. It's the ones that are going to try to infiltrate, the ones who will try to instigate violence.
And that'll be the excuse to go in.
Right. Those are the people we have to watch out for. And those are not people who are marching in solidarity.
No.
Those are people who are, as we have seen in the past, like the brown shirts, just, stirring up violence for violence's sake to make us look bad.
We need to be careful to not let the Trump side say, "Oh, these are just a few activists, drummed up by Hillary Clinton supporters."
Well, a few. There's 200 buses registered for the inauguration and 1,200 buses registered in Washington for the Women's March.
Yes.
So I don't know if they can dismiss
this. But there were 3,000 buses for Barack Obama's inauguration because that was about hope and going forward positively. And neither of these events is that. That's we have gone backward, no matter how you look at it.
I would rather look at the Women's March and the 1,200 versus 200 to be a step forward, and that there are also going to be marches all over the country. It's not just one place.
I think Democrats and women and all the groups who oppose the many reasons to oppose the Trump administration need to look at their methods. I hate the guy, but I don't want him assassinated. I want him protected very well. That's awful for our society. I don't want people yelling out rude things in the middle of acceptable political discourse.
I would say one word, and that's Reichstag. There is this idea that when a right-wing or even fascist element comes in, somebody gives them an excuse to do what they want to do.
And he has given them an excuse.
What's the excuse?
What'd you say?
What's the excuse he's given them?
He's given them license to act on their most base beliefs.
I don't think so.
I agree with Rosemary. I don't think there's an excuse here. I think it plays right into his hands.
You don't think that Trump's rhetoric has given license to the kids who are doing Nazi salutes in Saratoga High School?
Gives license to is one of those slippery phrases. Metaphorically, symbolically, absolutely. Bannon is in the White House. What more can you say? But that is different than the president-elect saying, it's now okay to hate black people, and I'm going to lead off by attacking a civil rights icon. That's not what happened.
Okay, here we go.
I don't agree, respectfully.
All right. I'm 14, and I'm scared of the freedom of the press in the United States will be violated under Trump presidency, considering Trump's volatility to all news media. Is that fear legitimate? It is. And not only that, read the New York Times this morning and read the story about, I think it's the Times, and read the story that there is about trying to take away, move them out of the press room.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It isn't something happening in the future. It is already under attack. And I don't care, as I've said many times here, about the White House press corps. I think they should not wait to be kicked out. Should get out right now and start investigating Donald Trump. You don't need a White House press corps. It's never done a great job. Go on all the way back to Watergate. But what you should be afraid of is that he and Peter Thiel, who is the billionaire who owns PayPal, have figured out how to really open up the libel laws, which he's threatened openly. And he's doing that by bringing suits against every single thing they disagree with so that you have to argue them and pay for it and go bankrupt in the process.
I agree with some of what you say, Rosemary. Not all of it, but some of it. Morning panel, can you explain the process for how the repeal would work? Specifically, does it start in the Senate, then go to Congress, or what? I called my rep, John Faso, and expressed my opinion. How much influence will he and other congressmen have? Let me just use that. Thanks for the civics lesson, Samantha from Kingston. Let me just say that John Faso will be our guest today, not only on the Congressional Corner, but will be on Vox Pop today for an hour. And you can ask him yourself. And you can watch on WAMC.org.
What time does that go on?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Okay.
Yep. Okay. And then, Bill says, these massive protests are exactly what Mr. Putin will see as signs of his successful hacking program.
I'm being told John Faso is on tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. I'm so sorry.
John Faso is on tomorrow.
You're right, Joe. You are absolutely right. Today's Medical Monday.
That's right.
I don't know what we're going to die of today, but it'll be something.
It'll be something. And tomorrow, John Faso will be our guest.
I would like Bill to explain how the protests are a sign that Putin will take as his successful hacking.
Well,
Putin hates protests and has been very harsh in putting them down and jailing provocateurs.
Yes, but
I hope that Donald Trump does not follow his example.
Yes, but in this country, it's one thing to have it in Russia. It's another thing to have it in the United States, where his where his avowed interest is clearly chaos. Go, you go.
So you're thinking he'll see protests as a sign of chaos?
Yes.
Well, then that's a weakening against Trump. I think that...
But it opens up for him.
Yeah, it opens
up. It's good for Putin.
He's going to shut down those protests. I'm really nervous about that.
So Karen says, does anyone know if Putin has been invited to the inauguration yet?
He has not. But the first foreign trip that the president makes, it has been announced, will be to see Mr. Putin, his mentor.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters. panel@wamc.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your letters. panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org. Let us go to some other topics, as there were many other things to discuss and that happened over the weekend that warrant our discussion. We were talking about one of them being moving the press corps, and I wanted to get a little bit more into the Reince Priebus and what he was saying, basically in regards to the Inspector General. I promise I will bring this up. There we go. Thank you very much. Ryan Priebus was on this week with George Stephanopoulos and said that it's time to quiet the Democrats about questioning Trump's legitimacy, rejected comparisons to Trump's own well-publicized doubts about Obama's eligibility to serve. Ryan Priebus came after a prominent lawmaker. This all after what John Lewis said. And then there was the conversation as far as what should be done with the ethics, and that the he told that the Democrats and the head of the ethics council or department help the of the ethics office.
Yes,
the ethics office.
It's just the office.
Office of Government Ethics.
There you go. Should be very.
He threatened them with lack of funding. Congress refunds them, and they're up for renewal.
And that Democrats should be careful in talking about the legitimacy of the president, and also that there is, because there, in his words, there is no evidence that there is any illegitimacy within the election.
Okay, we've been here before. We discussed this already. We'll discuss it again. It was the president-elect who questioned the legitimacy of the whole thing by saying the election was rigged.
Right.
And that he wasn't going to, he might not adhere to it, depending on what happened. So let's not be talking about this right now.
But I'm concerned about, I'm interested in this idea of Ryan Priebus telling the ethics chief to be careful in his criticisms, that Walter Schaub, who is the director of the OGE, said that the plan to address the business conflicts that we've talked about on this program, that this was meaningless, and it was marking the second time that the director called on the president-elect to fully divest his assets before he assumes the presidency this week. So if you don't have someone in charge, right? If you don't have someone who's saying, oh, by the way, there was a problem here, then what do you...
Well, you know the answer to your own question.
Well, I do, but I don't. So then, but this brings into what the overarching issue is. Then, who is in charge then? To
no one.
Bring
nobody.
These
they
questions?
Don't want. They don't want these questions asked. They don't want to have to answer these questions. Clearly, it's fascism 101.
They know where their vulnerability is, and yeah, it's no one will be in charge, and that's what they want.
Mm-hmm. I think this man, the head of the office, the government ethics office, is amazingly brave. He has consistently stood out. He's been bold in speaking out. He used tweets in the same style as Trump to make his point, which is a valid point. It's within the scope of his office. And to now be threatened by members of the administration mm-hmm. and Congress, I have said on Facebook that we all ought to be writing him letters, those of us who think rightly, and say, thank you for standing up. Thank you for your service. Because he's going to be crucified. He is being crucified.
When you say he's going to be crucified, what do you mean?
Drummed out of office.
Well, he may. He'll get a nice college teaching job, and he'll be able to have a place where he can
Are you sure that colleges that stand for free speech are still going to operate the same in the Trump administration?
You never know.
Well, you know, now you really have put your finger right on it. I have raised with our colleagues in the NPR system the idea that things may really happen here. To the NPR's affiliate stations. And basically, my real message is it's time to stand up. And there has been deafening silence coming back.
There's going to be an assault on free thought, free speech throughout this administration.
No
Not
question.
Just NPR. Paul Ryan wants to get rid of IMLS, which is the Institute of Museum and Library Services. They want, which would really hamper public libraries' abilities to function because there's money that comes with all of that. They just don't. They want people to think the way they want people to think. It really is fascism 101.
So it is. There is to me anyway, a liberal bubble according to them. That's what they think. They think the colleges, the universities,
right.
The libraries, the NPRs, the public radio stations. Those are the people.
The American public. Public.
Right. I mean, the thing is, they're going to be rudely awakened because I think what's going to happen is that the core Democratic vote that voted for Trump this time around because they wanted something new are realizing that they are going to be on the short end of the stick.
I don't think they're realizing it. And here we are inside, deeply inside the liberal bubble talking to each other. I think the core voters who went for Trump are delighted by what is happening. This is exactly what they wanted, and we're seeing the same thing in England with Brexit.
Yeah, but people are recognizing that they're losing their health insurance.
I don't see any evidence of that.
There have been stories.
I read the story in the New York Times yesterday about women who voted for Trump and they still like him.
Yeah, that's great, but there are also people in middle America and steel workers and people who are unemployed who now have health insurance who are speaking out about the fact they're going to die.
I don't believe that.
Oh, well,
From the Sun in Great Britain that the president-elect has asked for the bust of Winston Churchill to be put back in the Oval Office. You will remember it was removed by Barack Obama to make way for a statue of Martin Luther King.
Yeah, that's out.
Nice way to celebrate MLK Day.
Obama made a big point of that last night on 60 Minutes about the bust being the best thing in his office. But you know what? Rosemary, there is some evidence that things are not going well for him.
Polls. Look at the polls and the fact that he's got the lowest approval rating of any president-elect going in.
Now, remember, we started with that 40% which would not move, right? It's moving.
That's right.
It's moving now.
It may be
subtle, but remember, not all of those people are people who were in that 40%. So if you're down to 37, you're losing.
Excuse me, 3% is not significant statistically in polls, and it has moved in the face of unprecedented liberal and Democratic criticism and complaints about
so?
The president. I do not take this as evidence. I think the vast majority of his supporters are saying, wait and see, he hasn't even had a chance to get in there yet. We're the ones saying we're reading the signs, and they're saying, no, none of that counts. Let's see what he does. These polls now do not mean very much.
There was a story in the TU. Paul Tonko had a meeting with some constituents, and they were talking about losing their health care. People are talking about losing their health care.
Paul Tonko in New York State.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Show me something from Michigan and we'll talk, Libby.
There have been stories out of Michigan. There's been stories out of middle America. People are now afraid because they're going to lose their health care.
What about after 100 days?
Then we'll talk. Yeah, I don't think this means anything. There's the Democrats have been, and I hope to have been part of that. We liberals have been very effective in yelling out a warning about what's coming. But the people who support him are adamant, saying that we have to give him a fair chance. You've heard it. We all have. Like, oh, give him a chance. You're sore losers. Wait and see.
Let's move on to a couple of, at least one more issue before we go to a break. Scott Pruitt, the Oklahoma Attorney General, is President-elect Donald Trump's nominee to lead the Environmental Protection Agency. There is an article in the New York Times this morning talking about how he backed industry donors over regulators. There is a story here about a legal fight to clean up tons of chicken manure fouling the waters of the Oklahoma northeastern corner, much of it from neighboring Arkansas, was in full swing 6 years ago when the conservative lawyer Scott Pruitt took office as Oklahoma's attorney general. His response put on the brakes. Rather than push for a federal judge to punish the companies by extracting perhaps tens of millions of dollars in damages, Oklahoma's new chief law enforcement officer quietly negotiated a deal to simply study the problem further. The move came after he had taken tens of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from executives and lawyers for the poultry industry as one of a series of instances in which Mr. Pruitt put corporation with industry before confrontation as he sought to blunt the impact of federal environmental policy in his state against oil, gas, agriculture, and other interests. I read this letter for two reasons. One, because we talk about Scott Pruitt. The other, because it seems like we've seen articles of this type about many of those who have been going up for confirmation, and yet when they go up for confirmation, They are being questioned, but also those nominations seem to be generally sailing through.
Sailing through.
But they're also telling things that, and the big question about what they're saying, which is basically at odds with what Trump has always said, whether or not what they're saying is being truthful. Do they really mean it? Because they've been saying some things that are certainly not consistent with what Trump has said.
I don't think they're being truthful. I've said that from the very beginning. I think they're saying exactly what they have to in order to win nomination. I also think that this story is a really good example of how little credibility the press has. These are exquisitely evidenced and proof stories. There were pictures of the rivers that have been destroyed by chicken manure that Pruitt then protected the companies that had done that work in Oklahoma, had said, oh, no problem with this. This is proof that we are putting into place a man who is going to be charged with the environment, who has never been interested in protecting the environment. And yet, who cares? Who cares? Well, where's the marching in the street, even in Oklahoma?
When anthropologists land here 3,000 years from now, from a strange universe outside here, and wonder why the Earth burned up, they're going to find out why that somebody elected a president who turned on his heels and said none of this matters.
Right. Jobs is number one.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get some news from Ray Graff, and we will take a break for a few moments, and then we'll be back with more from the panel. We welcome your input, panel at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday morning. It's the 16th of January. It is Martin Luther King Day, a holiday, and we are very thankful that you are here. And I just want to mention something. We've been getting a lot of letters, obviously, regarding the women's marches. And we can't mention everyone because they're happening in just about every community. However, there is a website, which is womensmarch.com/sisters. And if you go to that, if you go to womensmarch.com/sisters, and you can then find all of the local and regional events that are happening that are registered within that group. So if you want to find out what is happening in your area, or if you want to travel with others, you can certainly do that and find out. It's a clearinghouse of information. People are writing us saying, oh, did you know about the one here? Did you know about the one there? Here's the central spot, which is womensmarch.com/sisters, and you can find out more information about the local and regional events.
So 370 marches.
Now, I'm also pretty sure that if you just put in Women's March locations on Google, you could also find that list. However, I just want to mention
And could I just take a moment in this very sad time that we're, with a lot of pressure that all of us are feeling, that we owe a big debt of gratitude to Rob, our board op, for playing Muscat Ramble just now. It's a wonderful tune.
Good on you, Rob. All right. Let's see. I want to get to some letters. We have letters.
Okay.
We have a whole bunch of letters from the break.
Okay. Brian says, is there a conservative within commuting distance of your broadcast? By the way, anybody who has somebody who they think could be good enough to be on this panel who has conservative instincts, we'd be glad to take a look at them. Be glad to. Okay, and Mike says, I agree with Rosemary. The people who essentially switched parties for this election, the blue-collar workers from Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, have no or little regret about voting for Trump. We need to get out of our liberal bubbles and listen to those voters. Thanks. And that's from Mike. Panel, Trump is a spokesperson for whom? Who and why are these new power brokers behind Trump? We understand that many are confused and are manipulated using racism, anti-immigration talk, etc. But who is Trump really speaking for? And that's from Art. I have a feeling about that one. I think Trump is speaking for Trump. Mm-hmm. And I think he uses what he has to. But it is amazing. It is amazing how many of the very reactionary, conservative voices he's put into his cabinet. You would think that maybe if he was Trump speaking for Trump and he didn't, and he saw his popularity sliding, that he might want to do a little bit, and his understanding that Hillary indeed had beaten his pants off in the election.
Right.
by getting 3 million more votes, you would think he would take some cognizance of that, but apparently not. Okay. Steve says, Dems that voted for Trump are still behind Trump. Talk to Dems who supported Trump, not Dems who supported Clinton. Sorry, panel. This may change, but it hasn't yet.
Agree.
Well, we know you agree. He was agreeing with you.
I know. I just want to emphasize
But Libby
that.
And I don't agree. Okay. To Libby's point about who about those who voted for Trump and their health care, a well-shared post on Facebook involved the words of a Trump supporter who said that he was happy Obamacare was going to be destroyed. When asked what he would have said, he said, the Affordable Care Act.
Right. Right.
People don't know the difference.
No, they don't. They just don't.
Yeah. Okay. What I would like to hear in the future on this program is an update to what bills are being voted on, and so the public can take action and contact our legislators to promote our view. We need to be aware before the vote. If we knew when the bills were in committee, we might have some influence. We all need to take action. Thank you, and that's from Claire. Claire got a roll call, the newspaper on the Hill, and I think that's a pretty good place to find some. There's a ton of information easily available on all of this. We're talking about broad policy here, but if you want roll call or any one of the
roll call, Congressional Quarterly, and even C-SPAN has a great calendar of what's coming up.
And you should. Okay. And Gloria says, I don't for a minute believe that Trump will serve for 4 years. At some point, something will happen that will cause him to leave office. But we still have the Republican House and Senate doing what they can to eviscerate ACA, women's rights, LGBT rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Constitutional crisis, not so much. Frog march back into the past is more like it. Scared to death? Yes, yes, and yes. Keep up the good work, Gloria. Rita says Trump always feels the need to defend himself because he is a very insecure person. He will react to everything said against him, and when president, I think we all fear this reaction will result in actions against us. I believe he will be impeached. Priscilla says, I think the best way the press could respond to news conferences like the last one was to all walk out. They were so hungry for approval of this narcissistic bully that they simply pandered to him. The very worst thing you can do to a narcissist is not respond. These tweets are babble, not social, not policy statements. Ignore them or merely report. There were 25 today. Jim says, nobody should be yelling out, you lie, or anything else. During a State of the Union or any other forum, it would be disrespectful to the office of president. There are other ways to apply pressure and make points known, and they should be used in full force by the Democrats, and that's Jim from Poughkeepsie. Hello,
agree.
Panel. What?
I agree with him, too.
Hello, panel.
Hello.
Happy MLK Day. I take umbrage with Rosemary's comment about not calling Trump a liar because it is rude. It seems to me that the last 8 years, the Democrats have been trying to play by the rules of the game while the Republicans have been launching mortars at their sidelines. Merrick Garland, health care, total opposition to Obama's entire agenda for no reason other than to be obstructionist. Democrats need to quit the political niceties because the Republicans aren't even playing the same sport. Him, I agree with.
Mm-hmm. No, then you end up with both sides doing that. You have no system. Yeah, 300 years go down the tubes. No.
Better there should be one side doing it to the other side, and the other guy should allow sand to be kicked in their face.
Better that more people realize it's horrible and that we don't have it and we vote out people who act
mildly. Mark says, the problem with marches, and Ralph Nader speaks to this, did I do that?
Yes.
Is that
yes.
All this energy, millions of people mobilize and then leave Washington and New York or wherever. And then it comes to Monday and it's business as usual and there's no representation. What needs to happen post-March is that an organization needs to be created from pooled resources, collect money, organize, and create representation. If you don't lobby in those interests, little effect will be gotten. That is the only way to get the attention of representatives. You mean you have to choose from one from column A, one from column B? Is it possible that you have the marches and that scares the hell out of an awful lot of people who see millions of people around America doing this, and then you organize?
I think all of it's happening at once. We're organizing here in Albany. There are two women's groups, one in Del Mar, one where I am, the one I'm involved with is called Capital Women. I think there's organizing going on, there'll be the marches, and then there will be continued work happening. I don't think, you know, right.
Exactly.
I think you have to have some organization in order to have these marches.
Morning panel, I usually dislike Trump, but the tone of your discussion is very partisan, almost bordering appearing to be a panel of peaceful planning for inauguration protests. Nonsense. We haven't said a word about planning anything for inauguration protests. Just imagine the opposite.
Well, the march is an inauguration protest.
Well, no, that's the day after.
They're protests of the inauguration. Yeah. They're not during the inauguration. It's not yelling rude. You're lying in the middle of his inauguration address. None of that. There's no violence, whatever. In fact, there's a lot of measures being taken to guard against that. So it's peaceful protest, which is our right under the First Amendment and
there's
an American tradition.
And there's not going to be that many people at the inaugural address to begin with.
No, there will be.
Yeah.
Just imagine the opposite scenario, right-leaning panel discussing Obama inauguration protests. Be careful, please. Okay. I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to say it one more time. This is a time for courage.
Right. When good people say nothing, fascism happens.
All right. I'm going to take a huge pivot. Huge, huge pivot.
Oh, we're going. I know where we're going.
Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus announced on Saturday night that after 146 years of performances, it's folding its Big Ten forever. In a statement on the company's website, Kenneth Feld, the chief executive of Feld Entertainment, the producer of Ringling, said the circus would hold its final performance in May. Excuse me, he cited declining ticket sales, which dropped even more drastically after elephants were phased out of the shows last year. This, coupled with high operating costs, made the circus an unsustainable business for the company. The circus and its people have continually been a source of inspiration and joy to my family and me, said Feld. Stephen Payne, a spokesman for Feld Entertainment, said in an interview on Saturday night that the closing would affect about 400 cast and crew members. Where does a sword swallower find a new job?
I think Donald Trump has to take care of that.
Yeah, Cirque du Soleil. I mean, there are other circuses that are non-animal based.
I feel sorry that the circus is gone. It's been an American tradition for nearly 150 years. I feel sad that my granddaughter will never see one. On the other hand, there's lots of institutions we're losing because we don't care about them anymore, except feeling sad when they disappear. One of them is the shopping center, which is in decline nationwide. And we don't shop in stores anymore, and I'm one of them. I will be sad. I don't want Colony Center to ever close, but I'm not going to go shop at L.L. Bean anymore, and that's one of the anchors. So I know what I'm doing. It's much easier to shop online. You go into a store now and ask for something, you go, well, we don't really have that, but you can find it online. That's right. And that's a reason that institutions change. Circuses out of date.
There are still going to be circuses. It's not like they're all going away.
Ringling Brothers.
No, it's not Ringling Brothers. But, you know, the one thing that people don't know.
Big Apple's closed also.
Well, there's Cirque du Soleil. There's still other things happening. One thing that people don't realize in New York is that ticket sales for circuses under state law are not taxable. So the circus never had to pay any kind of sales tax for their tickets. And it was one of those things that we all looked at and wondered, well, why is that? And it's, I guess, because it was such a beloved entertainment venue. But, you know, the elephants, you know, they blame the elephants, and I don't think that that's the case.
That was a big draw. I went for the elephants.
Well, I think that, you know, people are getting their entertainment very differently now. Mm-hmm. You know, you can stay home, sit on your couch with a controller, and have a great time.
Well, especially with computers, the entertainment online
and
the movies is much more exciting than anything you see in the circus, except for giant elephants sitting on each other and balancing on one leg. That was different.
Yeah, well, and they were also abused.
When's the last time did you see a circus?
Well, I lived in Florida, so I'm not a good one. I saw a lot of them.
Yeah.
When I was really little.
Because I never liked it. I always found them scary. I thought the clowns were scary. I thought the animals were.
Do you have a problem with clowns? Are you one of those people?
No, I don't really have a problem with clowns. I just thought, I don't know. They're all coming out of the
clown car.
I lived in Sarasota. John Ringling was an amazingly interesting man. I hope people will check out his history. His house on the Sarasota Bay has been restored. It's amazing. And his legacy in Florida is quite something. So I'm sad to see that go. He also has an amazing art collection.
I'm sad to see it go, too, because it is something, as you say, it's one of these institutions that's been around for years. I also, my initial question, just from a news background, was why don't you, instead of having three companies that travel the country, scale back as mm-hmm. opposed to do away with it altogether? So that was one question I had. But and you wonder if, you know, someone will eventually bring it back. But I don't know.
Well, wasn't it Barnum who said a sucker was born?
Yeah,
P.T. Barnum.
Yeah. Well, P.T. Barnum, you know, so now we just have the same guy saying that, but in the White House. So we still have a circus to watch.
God, you turn that into politics, too. What Isn't a crazy
amazing?
Liberal you are.
I am.
Alan?
Mark says, WAMC may be able to survive without public funding, but what about the other 900 public radio stations? Ladies and gentlemen, you never heard me say that on this air?
Yeah,
you never heard me say that again and again and again?
Frequently
okay.
you have, Alan.
I love what I say, and then somebody says to you, but what? Okay, so how do you see WAMC changing without public funding? I don't see it changing at all. And in fact, we have to be prepared for that to happen in one of two ways. One of them is that the money disappears. And the other way is that we, as Rosemary said before, may have to start fighting some legal battles.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Will NPR News still exist? That's a very interesting question, because I've had my differences with NPR. And NPR, I believe, has a lot of relationship with money, needs money in order to operate.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep wondering whether Sirius or XM wouldn't be willing to pay the same $500 million to NPR
right.
To be their news operation mm-hmm. as and that wouldn't be good for stations like this, I'll tell you right now. If so, how will it be different? Well, what about programs like Morning Edition, All Things Considered? Will they still exist? If they don't exist, nature abhors a vacuum, and they will have to be recreated. And that would mean an amalgam of radio stations which get together and say, okay, we're going to make this happen. I can't believe that we won't have something as good or better than what we have now. And there's more, Joe, but I don't know how you feel about it.
I have feelings that we have 2.5 minutes.
Okay, here we go. Hi, all. It is important to remember that if we want to get rid of environmental devastation due to animal agriculture, like the chicken manure pits mentioned earlier, you can make a very big difference by changing your lifestyle. Stop eating meat. I agree with that. And animal products, which cause unprecedented amounts of environmental pollution. Go vegan. It's easier than ever. Your daily dietary choices make a huge difference. The chickens will be grateful.
Oh, my goodness.
But people won't be raising chickens. People will not be raising chickens if they can't eat them.
Yeah, that, you know, it is not eating meat that causes these problems. It's the industrial complex that has set up farming in a way that makes it environmentally bad. That's the problem. Those are two widely different things.
Please remind Rosemary that Trump lost the popular vote and barely won in states like Michigan. It seems like it's so negative. She is so negative because she can't understand Hillary's loss, which she refuses to admit was caused by undemocratic DNC and Hillary's poorly run campaign. Trump is one-term wonder. That would not have happened if the Democrats had been given a choice of candidates like they were in 2008.
The Bernie people. I'm not arguing this anymore. It's over.
It is over. It's over. Okay. And then finally, here we go. We need the responsible news media to give us names, numbers, affiliations of our congressmen and senators. Ladies and gentlemen, take your congressional district. Just write in the number of the congressional district in
just
your
go
Google.
Just go online.
And that's what I'm saying. In your Google, it will tell you everything you need to know. So to say to us, you should be sitting there telling us, now, can I just say who? And I know I'm being a little defensive here, but who else besides WAMC has a congressional corner which interviews every single one of our congresspeople again and again and again and again?
Thank you very much. We have to take responsibility for our own activism. We have to know who our congresspeople are, who our state senator and assemblymen are. We need to know. We need to have that information. We can't rely on anybody else. It's an individual's responsibility.
But I must just say, in our own interest, I mean, who else has a congressional corner?
Absolutely, no, Alan. You're absolutely right. But nonetheless, to expect the media to do that job for you is short-sighted.
All right. We are out of time. Thank you for everyone for participating. We'll continue after this short break.